Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam, how are you?
Good. You?
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Sam.
How are you?
Good, you?
Well, I am Sam Simo.
And I'm Sam Carey.
And this is Good You Therapy Podcast.
Yes, so
We're
thank you for
butchering
being
this
with us.
intro.
Yes. Do you want to try again?
No, I love it.
Okay. Hello, welcome to Good You Therapy Podcast. Thanks for being with us today. So today we are actually going to do something a little bit different and have a little fun, have a few laughs. We're going to do
Or
some
cries.
reactions. But it's okay. You can't see us, so you don't have to see the tears. We're gonna do some reaction videos to some Reddit stories from the R Counseling Reddit thread.
Our talk therapy.
Talk therapy, my bad.
It's a good one. So as I mean, I could pick out all the ones that are terrifying, but we don't want to scare everybody off from counseling. There are definitely people out there that practice unethically. And what I love about this subreddit is that they will let that person know immediately, like, this is not okay. And so, such a great place if you're like, is this a red flag that my, or is this like something my therapist should be doing? Totally go. Get some, advice from other counselors or other people in counseling and get other people's perspectives on it. So there are some stories in here that you might be like, what the hell? And then there might be some that might feel relatable. I don't know. We'll see along the way. I honestly can't remember everything I screenshot. So Sam, this is Sam Carey's complete blind reaction to all of this,
Yes, I
and
have
my forgetful reactions.
no idea what I'm getting into, but I also want to throw out that as we're talking about it, like I'm gonna be a little bit mindful of like our ethical code, right? So if you are seeing a counselor, like in the state of Louisiana, it's a licensed professional counselor or provisionally licensed professional counselor, LPC, PLPC. We go by the ACA code of ethics. So if I mention ethics, I do not know about social work ethics. I don't know about psychologists or psychiatrists. So just throwing that out there that if we talk about like the ethical code at all, that is the ACA code of ethics, which you can look up on their website.
Yes. And this is not to we're reading just off of experiences of other people. I will keep their usernames private just in case I don't want that piece, but also this isn't to judge anyone's experience. This is to reflect. I don't know if you heard that reaction, but okay. This is just to reflect about things that people are either questioning, curious about, or again, like there's a lot of things that people can relate to on here. So we'll see how this episode does and maybe do more and go from there. Okay. So let's see.
Cool.
Where should we start?
Do we want to start with something wild or do we want to start with something calm?
I have both. How about, you know what? Let's start with a little bit of this is a lot of bit of wild, in my opinion.
I'm ready.
Okay. So the subject line is finding therapy as a therapist sucks and retweet. Yes.
Yes.
However, didn't expect to get this at the bottom because I think immediately I know I can be picky searching because
Yes.
of everything I know. That's where I thought this was going. Nay, nay. Okay. I've been wanting to start up my own therapy again and had an intake appointment this morning. When I joined the session virtually, the therapist was sitting next to her husband. I asked who he was, and she said, "Oh, it's just my spouse. My son is visiting, so there is nowhere else for him to go." He could see me and could hear all the therapist's responses as he was next to her during the entire session. I could hear him coughing throughout. I honestly could not believe it.
Okay.
So, call the police.
So, remember how I just talked about that thing, the code of ethics thing, that we all have to take a literal 3 hour a week course on?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That. We're going to go back to the privacy section of that. I don't even know what section that is, but like privacy, I mean, our code of ethics is so strict about privacy and the confidentiality piece that like,
that's mine.
We're not even supposed to do telehealth sessions if our client is in a space with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like if our client is in a car with someone else, or if our client is like in a room with other people, like they are supposed to be in a confidential space. So the thought has never even crossed my mind that a therapist would even,
No, there's literally no words and no excuse. Send your husband anywhere else.
Put him in the bathroom. I don't care.
I know. Put him outside. Like there's no excuse in the world. That is never okay. If that ever happens, dear God, hang up the virtual
Please
call and contact their board. Contact the state board. Because that is so wrong. They need a HIPAA course. They need an ethics course and a confidentiality course to get their license back. Like that's the minimum.
So like we literally have to have HIPAA is the like big privacy law that covers like all medical care, right? So we have to have platforms, whether that's paying for a special Zoom platform or a special Google platform or using like for my practice, we use the Simple Practice, and they have like Simple Practice keeps our notes and has a private HIPAA compliant like virtual platform. I just, oh my God.
I know. I told
that was really short, but I was not prepared.
I made sure to choose the short one. So there are a lot on there that have very long, very messed up stories. But
I'll have to do one of those one day because those are always interesting.
They're really good. We'll have one that has like maybe three really good ones that are long and we can dissect that. But all today are pretty short. So we'll take a break from the ethics break and just get to like a real fear of clients. So someone posted fear of therapists knowing about your trauma. Does anyone else feel like the fact that your therapist knows about your trauma is almost more scary than talking about the trauma itself? Like, yes, the abuse brings up a ton of shame, fear, and emotions, but having someone else know about something I've kept secret for so long is even more scary than addressing the abuse itself. I don't know if this makes sense. I just keep running into this in my own therapy and I don't know what to do. And I think that's so real.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things about being a therapist that always leaves me kind of speechless is that people are brave and willing to come into a room with a stranger and open up and share like the deepest, heaviest things that they carry. You know, I feel very honored when people do that because I know how difficult that is in my own life and experience. And also like, you know, when you think about friends or you think about family, like people do stuff to kind of earn your trust. But in this regard, like people are paying to come see us and like have an experience of being like safe and supported.
And it's not reciprocated by us sharing our thing. It's literally just a very one-sided, like you give a lot of your fears, your trauma and sharing that. And then you're not hearing any back as if it's this, you know, like a friendship or a family relationship or a partnership. And so this is a brand new relationship that you have. And that's why anyone who's a therapist who hasn't been in their own therapy, I will, you know, always advocate to seek your own therapy so you can be able to empathize with how hard that really is.
Yeah. Yeah. So If the person that posted this or anybody that feels this way hears this, like, just know that a lot of us, Sam and I at least, feel very like empathetic in that sense of like, thank you for being brave and sharing
Yeah.
and giving us the opportunity to hold that for you and with you. And you know, as a therapist, there's a lot of like trying to separate from my clients. I've struggled with that a lot, especially in the beginning. I've gotten better at it, but I used to, like, when I first started, I used to think about my clients like all day, every day. Like I would think about them until I went to bed and I would wake up thinking about them. My first semester of practicum was
Dude, rough.
the first couple months. I was like, I'm gonna die from taking in all of this. Like I'm just so like I'm taking in so many emotions. I learned how to separate. I am much healthier now, but even with that, like there are little things that'll pop up and I'll see something and it'll make me think of this client. You know what I mean? Like you guys, you are like speaking to clients, like y'all are part of our lives in little ways. Like we do have relationships with you, even though it's not reciprocal in the same way as a lot of relationships are. Like if you have a good therapist, like we care, you know?
Absolutely. Like before bed, so often I'm like, oh, I need to remember to do this. Like, so, you know, to get this for my client prepared, which actually reminds me, I need to set an alarm for Monday. So, like those little things, like I want to make sure that I'm constantly, not constantly thinking about it. Like, that's the not being able to separate piece, but like just being aware that like I'm always thinking of ways I can be better and reflecting how I could be a better counselor for each person, because each person comes in with different stories and different things that they're struggling with. And I'm not going to use the same intervention for each person. So
And you're not going to have the same relationship with each person. You know, like in the private practice I'm at, I've had a lot of clients come in and just walk right in and be super open. And lately I've had a few clients that have been a little more reserved and I almost forgot what that's like, you know? And then this is a really interesting thread, like with that perspective of like, wow, you're coming in and talking to this stranger about like the most horrible things. And, you know, we do this every day. So it sometimes it's easy to like check out and not think about that and the gravity of that. So I appreciate that this is one of the ones you picked.
Good. See, I'm trying to get all over the place. And this one's a really sweet one too. The subject is, I saw a smile on my T's face. And then it says, when I told him last session that I was going to come in person this week, it made me happy too. And my heart melted just a little bit. I really value all relationships in my life, no matter what they look like. I value them and hold them all in my heart so strongly. The smile also made me feel like I matter to them.
You too.
Yes. I
You do
know.
matter.
I know. This
Ah,
is
you're
such a
gonna make me cry. I feel
sweet
so.
reflection.
Yes. And it's so funny because as you're reading these, I'm thinking about some of my clients and I'm just like, yeah. I don't know. I love that.
I see one thing that is so important for your own counseling is to be able to reflect afterwards. Like, I think sometimes we can get into the habit of like checking in and out, like, oh, I get to feel in this 1 hour each week. And it's like, no, like I want you to also reflect about this session and the things you were feeling, and then reflecting on your week as it happens. And something like that simple. Like, I saw my counselor smile and get excited that we were gonna do an in-person session. Like, I love in-person sessions. Like, that would too make me smile. You know what I'm saying? If it switched from virtual to in-session.
Dude, I am about to switch to fully virtual when we move in August, and it breaks my heart a little bit. And some of my clients are going to stay, and they're like, okay. And I'm like, I know, I know. There's a few times that I'm going to try to come down, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to like sneak a few in-person sessions. I talked to my supervisor about the office, and I'm like, look, I'll work around.
Whoever.
Whoever's in that office, but like I would love to be able to just like offer that to a few clients like that I'm seeing virtually. Like, surprise, I'm here for like 2 weeks
Aww.
because it's so different. It's like, and you can have a beautiful relationship virtually. You can.
Yes.
But in person is just like,
I
it's so
know
good.
it's, and sometimes it feels more vulnerable for the client, just putting that out there. Like, yes, it can, it feels safer when you're at your house and you can close the laptop at any time versus like you're really in front of this person. But also, like, that connection builds so much more, and creating a space where you can feel, you can begin to feel comfortable talking to somebody in person about things that you never talk about out loud, like, and getting used to that feeling of being uncomfortable. I don't know. I love that.
And I love, like, my office is like my happy place, like my happiest place in the world. And like, we have snacks and water, and I have blankets, and I have all kinds of little like fidget toys, and like a comfy little
Yes.
couch with like a little squishmallow on it. And I'm like, get cozy, like, let's just hang out, you know?
Let's hang. Let's see. I feel like we should run it back since now we're in a really good mood.
Now Sam wants to ruin our good mood. Let's go.
Okay. So I don't necessarily know if this would require a trigger warning. I don't think, but it might. It's uncomfy. So just a heads up. Okay. The subject line is, my therapist keeps making comments about my looks. All right, Sam's face is already saying it all, and I say, okay. I'm a 27-year-old woman who has recently started seeing a therapist on a weekly basis. We have had about five sessions, and in four of the five sessions, he has made comments about my looks. The first time was in regards to some issues I've been having with a female coworker who has been mean to me for seemingly no reason. He suggested that she might be jealous of me because I am very attractive and have amazing hair and skin. I shrugged this off because I figured he was just trying to help me understand her behavior. Then when we were talking, which is such a, by the way, which is such a healthy, also just like that would be healthy to think of it that way. So awesome on the client for being able to conceptualize in that way. Unfortunately. Then when we were talking about my ex-boyfriend's jealousy, he told me that I was a total catch and that's why my ex was so afraid to lose me. I found this a bit odd. He also told me that I was a gorgeous woman at one point, but I found forgot the context. Then during our last session, I brought up that I was a health freak, which can make me feel isolated sometimes because some people take offense when I don't want to eat sugar and junk food with them. In response to this, he told me that he could tell that I ate healthy because I have glowing skin. I feel like this is getting a little out of hand, and I just want to see if anyone has had similar experience. Is this normal, or is he being unethical? Thank you.
You know, I'm going back. The first thing that popped into my head is I can hear my very first practicum supervisor saying, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like the 100% version of yourself, but you need to be the healthiest person in the room. Excuse me, sir. Whoever you are, you need to be the healthiest person in the room.
Which also, like, the health thing, that can do a lot more damage by saying something like that. That's doing a lot of harm because you might be adding to maybe some unhealthy eating patterns. You
I'm gonna be
did you even
honest.
explore what that meant, what a health freak meant?
I'm gonna be honest. I don't ever comment on my clients' bodies.
Oh, me neither. Oh, never.
Even if like they're talking about, like, we can talk about like your experience of your body, but I'm not
Absolutely.
gonna give my opinion of your body because my experience in my own body has been weird. And when people comment on my body, I want to scream.
And who am I
Who the hell am I?
to say anything? The only thing I've ever made comments on is sometimes I'll say, that outfit is, or something like that. I'm like,
Yes.
oh, your outfit today. Yes. Like, I
Yeah.
don't even
Or
say it's cute. I don't even say it's like this. Like, I'm like, love the
I didn't
outfit.
like it.
Yeah.
I've never had a therapist do that, but I have had clients do that. And I'm
Yes.
like, oh God, how do I? There was a point where I way long back where I was like talking to a supervisor. I'm like, how do I address this? Because it when I get a comment on my outfit or on my hair or on my skin or on my like every single time I see this person, it's a little bit like it's just when it feels like somebody is just constantly taking note of your body, it's a weird experience. As for me as a woman, in my experience of that, I don't like.
Is it more from male clients that makes it uncomfortable or okay?
Yeah, well, yes, and I will say like when I get weird about it because so like I am a really small human and that's not purposeful. That is the opposite of purposeful, right? Like I'm one of those people that people are like, "Oh, you're so lucky, you're so thin. Oh my God, eat a cheeseburger. Oh my God, you're gonna blow away with the wind." And I'm like, I love how people think it's okay to comment on smaller people's bodies. But it's not because it is something that like I have feelings about, and especially when it's other women who are like kind of they're not even saying it in a nice way, but like as a dig because they're and it's like let's just not talk about each other's bodies. Like I recognize that some people want a body like mine. I recognize that I want a different body sometimes, like, and that's okay. But especially in a therapeutic context, don't talk about your clients' bodies, please. Like, unless you are doing like work with that and you have training on that. And like, but even I don't have eating disorder training.
I was about to say, commenting is just unnecessary. Like, if you're reflecting on maybe the things that they're already saying, that's one thing. But like, me
Right.
making my that's an opinion. That's my opinion. No, I'm not adding my opinion in this. There, you know, I have my friend who also is thin, and she feels the same way. We've talked about this. And one time we were in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and I got grilled nuggets because I like to mix my grilled nuggets with the mac and cheese and get buffalo sauce. Try it. 10 out of 10. She got fried nuggets, and the woman who was taking her order was like, said something like, yeah, that like you definitely need the fried nuggets. Oh, did we looked at her, and the woman looked like it surprised her that she said that, and she was like, I'm so sorry. And my friend was like, it's okay, but like, please, please.
I think we're just really in a society where like beauty standards are great. And with it goes with men too, though. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I'm very protective over that with people because I think it can be so detrimental. And it can be detrimental, period. Like I hate when people comment on my body, period. And like I've had to have conversations where I'm like, not that long ago, where somebody said something about something I was eating, and it was at like a friend's party function thing. And I said, so we're not going to talk about my body. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Because it's like, I'm not going to scream and holler and yell, but like, I'm not going to engage with you if you're going to be speaking about my body in a negative way. Because like, how do you want me to react? Do you want me to get mad? Do you want me to laugh about it? Do you want me to like, what
But
is your
also,
goal with that?
Sam, but also in a positive way, like in therapy, positive, negative,
But
don't.
in therapy, like, you know, I think we've talked about it a little bit before. Like, there's a hierarchy. Even if you're a therapist, like, I go in and I'm like, hey, we're a team. We're collaborating on like what you need. Yes. But there's still this like imbalance of power. That's why you don't date clients. You can't be friends with clients. Like, that's why those rules are in place because there is a hierarchy. There is this, like, they're paying you for a service, right? So, like, there is this hierarchy happening. And when you insert your opinions, you have to be so mindful about like what you share and how you share it because that impact, not every single client takes it that way, but like that impact can be so much more intense than a person on the street saying that. And like that just it does sound really flirty, especially like when you have like a if you're like a cis hetero male or female and you have a client who is a cis, like if there's this like obvious world in which like the attraction could be happening, Even if it's not, but like you just got to be mindful about that. You got to be mindful about like
God, yeah.
being flirtatious and being, yeah, because
Because
you don't want your
then you're
clients
gonna
to get
create
attached to you.
exactly, you're gonna create an area where now I am seeking approval over my looks and all these things.
Or you're gonna make them super uncomfy.
Or you're gonna make them, or yeah, or you have no idea, especially 5 sessions in, if your client has ever been experienced any trauma around
The yeah.
right, being like, you know. So yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's one of our biggest things in our code of ethics is do no harm. That's harmful. Don't do it. Just don't do that. Okay. So back to a lighter note. I love this. Someone said, "Does anyone else feel weirdly nurtured by their therapist? I've just started the process and her kindness often catches me off guard. I feel embarrassed by how much I like feeling that she cares for me, given that it's a transactional relationship. Anyone else?"
I love reading these because some of them, like the one you said, like a therapist looking for a therapist, I like personally understand that. And then the ones where it's like just clients and I, some of them I can't help but think like, I wonder if you have like any training or experience in any kind of like psychology or anything, because it's just funny to hear because it's like, I hope you feel nurtured. I hope you feel like your therapist cares about you and is kind, even though you're paying us, like, we care.
This is what we were talking about. What was it? Last episode or
When we
no?
talked about values, or when we talked about surviving the waves.
It was one of them when we talked about like it's not about the transaction of money. It's the transaction of connection. I think is so important. And yes, like we do need to make a living. Like that is that this is our job is part of it, of course, but that is not what outweighs why we're in this profession. Because trust me, this profession isn't like what's the word I'm looking for?
Lucrative.
Yeah, it's not a lucrative profession. It's not. And so
Some people can make it, and if you do,
shout, teach me your ways. It's you have to do like, I mean, really like group practice or like you know,
it takes
and
a while.
it takes a lot of building and which is awesome. And like, you know what? If we get to that point in our career, that's great. Like, but the connection and the nurture, that's so beautiful because how often are there people in this world that don't experience being nurtured through their whole childhood? And this is maybe the first time that they're feeling nurtured. They might not have, because someone doesn't get nurtured in their childhood, they might not find friendships that are nurturing. And
Yeah.
so they come into this relationship and they're like, is this what this is supposed to look like? And that's someone's world being kind of turned upside down for a
Shifted.
second in a beautiful way. But also it is very nurturing. I feel this, especially like depending on the client, like you can tell when a client is in need of reassurance and nurturing and that almost like motherly piece, right? Like that parenting piece. And like you can provide that in an ethical, professional, healthy way.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so sweet for that person to be able to feel safe enough to this is why I love this subreddit. I really do. Now, again, there are scary stories in here.
Yes.
Please read the comments because there are people fighting for you in here.
Yeah, I love it because I've worked with people, younger people and older people that don't haven't had like necessarily good relationships with women, and so it's a cool experience for me to be able to provide like just kindness in a way maybe they hadn't experienced before. Like you tell me something difficult, or my favorite thing in the whole world is when a client says something that is like very stigmatized or stereotyped or just like automatically like assumed bad, And I know them well enough to say, wow, it makes sense because of XYZ. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, no, like you must have been in a lot of pain to be there. And they're like, oh my God,
Yeah, the
I
first time
what?
that's ever confirmed or validated. Because how many people don't know how to handle someone saying that hurt them? They're like,
Well,
ah,
but
yeah.
you also have to think like if I say, wow, Sam, you suck, you're a terrible therapist, like that's gonna really hurt your feelings.
That's
But
fair.
if I say like, hey, you did this thing, I'm worried about you ethically, that might
Right.
come to you like, oh wow, you're a terrible therapist. But when I'm talking to my therapist about our interaction, they could say, wow, it sounds like you really care about that person and you're trying to find a way. Maybe you
To
didn't deliver
communicate
it
that.
great, but it sounds like you really are trying to, you know, it's understanding.
It when we come from a place of curiosity, of care, of compassion and grace, like I 90% of the time we're gonna have a beautiful response. Probably less because it depends who we're talking to, right? One depends their history of communication. Like it takes time to rebuild certain types of communication, especially if it's been one way for so long. So sometimes it just takes practice and change. But anyway, let's see. I'm trying to see what route I want to go in next. See, this one was just funny to me. Someone said, how do you sit during therapy? So he said, I see a clinical psychologist and the seat in his office is a one-seater armchair. I so badly want to curl up on my side, but I don't know if that's welcomed and don't want to put my feet up or dirty up the furniture. Sometimes I just hug a cushion into my chest and rest my chin on it as a compromise. I don't know what I wanted to achieve from this post. I guess I'm interested in hearing some different sitting variations from other therapy folk. I love
Okay,
it.
I'm laughing and I'm making my face because this week, I know some therapists, my therapist, like kicks his shoes off and curls up and like sits crisscross applesauce in his like fancy chair. And I sit like that and I get my little blanket and I get cozy and I'm like, ah, my spot. But I, as a therapist, have been so like, they're like, where I was started out, they're like, no, we don't do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then some people do, and then some people don't. And so I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just like, it was like, okay, I can cross my legs. And so I just like wiggle around. But this week, for the first time ever, I said, I'm gonna take my shoes off if that's okay. And I took my little shoes off and I had socks on. And I wrapped up in my quilt and I sat crisscross applesauce. And I was like, oh, why have I waited so long to do this? I've been seeing clients for like a year and a half now.
There's literally no reason not to. Like, if anything, I think it would give permission to also get comfy.
Yes. Well, I always
Because
tell
we're
them, I'm like, I have
mirroring.
blankets, like get comfortable, whatever, but they,
But if we
no,
look like we're
never.
stiff as a board, they're not going to feel comfortable getting comfortable with the blanket. You know what I'm saying? So
I've had one that was like, I'm gonna take my shoes off. Cool. I was like, cool, you do
I
you.
love it.
And they grabbed a blanket and got so cozy. And I was like,
Ugh,
yeah,
I'm jelly.
I know. And even then I was like, I still can't do it, but I need to.
I'll put like my leg, my foot on the chair that I'm on, and I'm like, but I wait for at least past the first session because a lot of the first session is like reviewing the intake and like want to
Right.
be more so. But if we're chilling, like having, you know, and then of course I'll put my leg down. I mean, you're mirroring, and if you want to exude comfort in the room, like you get comfortable.
And there's some people that I've been seeing for so long now that I think if I started doing it, they'd be like, what are you doing?
I'm trying something new.
Yeah. I read
Okay,
it in a book.
so this one is a thread. Let's see. Okay, I have two threads. This one is, do you feel like your T, so your therapist, is protective of you? If so, how do they show it? Or rather, how do you know? Which I love these. Ready? So the first response is, he expresses anger on my behalf about people who have hurt me. Shows that he cares. Someone said there was a session where I showed up scared and shaking. I sat down on the couch and looked at the floor and trembled, unable to say anything. R was silent. R, I guess, is the counselor, was silent with me for a moment. But then she said, I feel like I really want to protect you right now. Can I put a blanket around you? I nodded and she stood up and grabbed the blanket she kept in her office at the time, unfolded it and placed it around my shoulders. I clung to that blanket the whole session. After it was around me, I was able to start speaking about what had happened. That was one of the many caring and connective things R had done that I will remember for when I become a therapist. Ah, now I'm like, and yes, I felt very protected. I remember that session sometimes when I tried to internalize what it's like to feel safe.
I just have like full body goosebumps.
I know.
It's so funny because it's so. That's, I think this is a really good thread that kind of exudes the idea of like, it's really important to find a good match when you're looking for a therapist because everybody's going to show up so differently in those moments. And sometimes, and this is the other thing, like sometimes therapists get it wrong.
Yep.
Like, I'm just thinking of this experience of like being very, very overwhelmed in therapy and being like, I want somebody to protect me. I want to feel protected. I never feel protected. And the therapist just like, trying to like getting like very, this therapist is very quiet, getting very like loud and like kind of aggressive and like trying to like show that they're like fighting for the client, and the client's like, you have to stop right now or I'm going to walk out of the door. And they were able to repair after that, but like it's just funny because they had a really beautiful time after where they were able to be like, okay, like it's like I see what you were trying to do. It didn't land that way, and that's okay. But it's just funny because as therapists, like I love that therapist asked, like, I want to put, is it okay if I put this blanket around you, you know?
Yes, that's so beautiful.
And I've shared that with clients before too. And the way I usually do that is I'm feeling really like angry for you and protective of you right now. What is it like to hear somebody want better for you? What is it like to hear somebody worry about you? What is it like to hear somebody that wants to protect you? You know, something like that. Cause it is always interesting because a lot of times clients don't have that. Like somebody who wants to protect them or wants better for them or like sees that situation in that way. And so it's always take your feelings and put it out there and like using immediacy and using like the experience that you're having towards this client. But instead of making it like, I'm worried about you. What are you going to do about this? Like, I'm worried about you. I wonder what it's like to have somebody worry about you in that way.
And you know what you said was this matters so much about when you choose your counselor, which is so funny that you say that because the other thread that I saved is how did you know that your therapist was the one and what made you choose that therapist? And the first one says, I'm a woman of color, but I specifically sought out a white male therapist because I needed a counterexample. I needed one who I felt safe with and didn't objectify me. I had also seen a trauma specialist who literally, quote unquote, trauma specialist, who literally cried when I told her a small snippet of my trauma. So I was feeling a little discouraged and like my trauma would be too much for any therapist. That is dangerous there. I mentioned to my new therapist at the time, sexual trauma was a really big thing for me, particularly moving on from he asked me to describe in as much detail as I wanted that incident, and I did, not sparing that much detail. His response indicated that he wasn't just listening because he had to, but that he derived genuine fulfillment and joy in creating a safe place for me to share that story. It was the first time I'd met him, and I told him the story of a violent trauma, but he was steady, warm, and profoundly accepting. We've been working together now for almost 3 years. So there's no end in sight. Both of us have only gotten better, and the alliance stronger.
I love that.
Right?
And I also like felt a twinge when you read the part about, you know, the therapist like cried when, because I want to know what that means, right? Because some people see someone's eyes tearing up and are like, oh God, they just cried. And it's like, were they like boohoo crying? You know, because there's a line, because I know that like when clients have shared things with me, I think I've only teared up in session maybe 3 or 4 times, but when clients have shared things with me that have hit on things that I've experienced or hit on things that like I just like when I have a really close relationship with that client and to know how much pain they're in and just like feel it as they're talking, like I don't cry with clients. And usually what I try to do when I have had moments of being teary is say like, I just want you to
To
know
call
how
it out.
I am by your story. And I wonder what it's like to see somebody care so much or feel so much with you as you're sharing that. Because I don't want it to ever be like them having to guess what my tears mean.
Right,
Because
exactly.
that's, but then sometimes it's like, if there's momentum, I also don't want to stop and talk about like what's going on with me if they're in the middle of going. So that's a hard balance as a therapist. Because we are human beings, right? And like,
But if they're continuing to go, that to me would tell me that my tears make sense to them in the moment,
right.
versus if you have a client kind of like deer in headlights, like, why is this person crying? Is this too much for them to handle? What a great time that would be to explain about, I'm feeling hurt while you're saying that. Like, I can feel how painful that must have been. And
Yeah.
for me, like, I'm not a crier too much in real life. Like, I try to be more, and I'm trying in my own space to be better with expressing emotions in that way. So for me, I don't really find too many times where I've gotten close to crying with a client. There was one in particular, and I just related to their experience in a certain way. And so I shared very minimal self-disclosure in that moment of like, you know, I'm getting a little teary-eyed because I can only imagine how painful that must have been.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's, I don't even know how did we get on that subject.
Because that was part of the thing is where they said that their previous therapist
Yes.
who was supposedly trauma informed, it's like, I'm a trauma
Yes.
informed therapist and sometimes I get teary. And again, like I don't just like,
Yeah.
but it, yeah. My thing is like, there's just a few things that like, and sometimes it catches you off guard, right? So like my cousin, my first cousin, who was like my very best friend, she died. Oh gosh. Like 8 years ago, 2015. But I had a client come in and was telling me a story about like losing their best friend. And like they gave me like a play by play of the day. And it was so eerily similar to like what happened when I was 19 and my best friend died. And so, like, and they were getting emotional. And so that just like, I just had a few, like, not like tears, but like my eyes got a little
Got
teary. And
watery, yeah.
you know, I forget what even I said in the moment because I really didn't want to like talk about it or like bring attention to it because I'm like, if I do, I will cry and I don't want to do that. And I was just like, I feel so honored that you share that.
Yeah.
And my heart hurts for you because I know that's so excruciatingly painful, you know, something like that, you know. But it's just like sometimes it hits on our experience and it's not, and just, and I just want to throw this out there like to the therapist listening, like just because something hits your button doesn't mean you haven't worked on it, right? Like I have
Right.
come to terms with that. I've done a lot of grief work around her and, but like, you know, we grow around grief. Grief doesn't go away. So,
Absolutely. And the thing that I got teary-eyed over hadn't happened to me. It was something about and it was an animal loss. I mean, well, and I have lost pets in the past, but it was this specific way that this happened that I, you know, sometimes, you know, our job is to sit with empathy. And one of our teachers used to say, you know, we want to be able to put ourselves in our client's shoes, but make sure we're wearing thick socks. And I love that saying because we want to be able to still be on the side where we can be gr the grounded piece for our clients and be able to feel, and also be able to then, okay, let's look at this and process this. Because if we're both like feet in like the water, you know, knee deep, it's going to be too much for either. But in that experience, I feel like I was able to really put myself in that client's shoes and feel what that must have felt like to experience what they did. And so yeah, that's an important piece that, and if crying at your therapist makes you uncomfortable, that might be something that if you feel comfortable sharing, you never have to do that, by the way. Like, you don't have to tell your therapist like, hey, this makes me uncomfortable, but also, and I don't really like buts, I'm gonna say, and also, if you want to work towards, you know, healthy communication, because this is a way to practice that healthy communication of like, hey, you know, I got uncomfortable when there was crying in here, when I was sharing my story. It made me feel like that was too much for you to handle, and getting that feedback, because maybe it was something like we were just discussing. But also, we don't, you're right, we don't know if it was like boohoo crying or if it was like getting teary-eyed. So,
Yeah. I always encourage people, like, if you get uncomfy with your therapist, tell them. I love telling my therapist, like, I did not like when you said this. I didn't. And he's just like, all right, what do we need? How do we need to adjust? And like, what was going on? You know what I mean? Like, it took a really long time for me to be able to do that. But now that I can, it's almost like a joke, not a joke, but it's almost like funny because I'll be like, listen. And he's like, I know you're going to tell me. And he always reminds me, like, well, if you don't, you know, if this doesn't fit or whatever, just let me know. I was like, you know, I will, and we're good.
Don't
Like,
worry, 'cause
but
I will.
and I think that that's the thing, is like, it is a relationship, right? And like every single relationship, even this professional one that you're paying for and blah, 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 like it's still a relationship, and people are going to get it wrong. We're going to reflect wrong. We're not going to get it right all the time. We're going to show up tired one day. We're going to, and you are too. You know what I mean? Like that, like we're always trying, but we're not going to be 100 all the time. So like tell us, please. Like I know most therapists I know like want that
I
feedback
would
because
love to hear that. And you know what? If you do bring up something that bothered you that your counselor did, and they get defensive or don't take accountability in any way, shape, or form, like, that's a problem.
it is. I think
So.
like that is part of our job as well, is to like go into this. And that's why we're not allowed to do therapy with people that we know. And every time I say that I'm a therapist, people are like, I need you. I'm like, absolutely not. Because it's much easier to take a step back and like hear that feedback and like put down the defensiveness with a client than it is with a partner or a sibling or a parent or a cousin or a family member, whatever, you know?
And like, that's the thing with when it comes to transference, like, what our friends don't get and what our clients don't get is that you're not going to like us being both things.
And there's not the reciprocal nature of both things.
Like, you're not going to like that I'm, you know, able to, because if I was that nurturing and that much of a listener, like, if I was like that 24/7, that's just unrealistic. It's completely unrealistic. And so you're not that we're bad friends, you know what I mean? But it's like, it's a totally different relationship. It's totally different. But
But I do
yeah.
think that those skills go into those relationships, right? Like,
Of course, you can't drop them. And that's when everyone's like, don't be your partner's therapist. And I'm like,
you can't be everybody's therapist.
I'm being my own in this moment, because if I don't, I'm going to not be rational in this, you know what I mean? Like, it's helpful for me to be able to conceptualize through a therapeutic lens at times when I'm when I have an argument with a friend, a client, not a client, a friend, my partner or a family member, right? Like, because then I can just say, okay, like, where are they coming from right now? If I can take a step back and think that, that's healthy. That's what I want my clients to do. That's what my therapist wants me to be able to do. And And because I've learned the tools in school and by this profession, yeah, I'm going to use them. What?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, I have a lot of strong feelings about that because we can't be. So what happens, the way I described it to a supervisor once, is like when I think about parts work and I think about all the different Sams, there's like Counselor Sam, and she is the one that can, like, she gently herds everybody into the room in the back of my mind and shuts the door. It's like, okay, now we're in session. And sometimes they yell and they're banging on the doors and I can hear little things, but like, she's in session, she's in the driver's seat, she's in charge. And when I'm not in session, the door is open, everybody's kind of doing their own thing. And so she's still there. She's still playing a role in like how everything happens, right? And there's times where I want that to be the case, right? Like when there are big fights going on, or there's a lot of like, I don't want my 19-year-old part that wants to say F you to come out in a fight with someone that I care about, right? Like, right. I want to be able to say, I'm feeling really frustrated. That's what I tell Tyler. Like, I'm just being irrationally angry. I'm like, I'm feeling really frustrated right now. I'm going to put my headphones on. Just give me like 30 minutes to chill out because I know I'm being irrational. Yeah. And that's the counselor part coming out and saying, the 19-year-old part of me needs to be pissed off for a minute. So just let me.
Yeah. And Craig's literally told me before, he's like, you know, sometimes you sound like a robot. And I'm like, because if I don't sound like a robot right now, I'm going to sound like a bitch.
Yeah.
So sometimes I gotta be robot mechanical for a second to get myself back in a logical brain.
Yes.
But anyway, those are so real for us trying to carry those different hats in our life. So let's see. Okay. This is so real. This is so real. Someone said, when you talk about your trauma in therapy, do you ever feel like you're being dramatic or looking for attention? They said, having a difficult night, rough session today. I don't know what happened, but something felt off. I normally feel happy to be there, but I felt exposed and filled suddenly with shame. I don't want to be seen. I found myself hyperfixated on a fear of being perceived as dramatic or attention seeking, but I was just talking about how I was feeling, so I don't know what gives. For context, we're doing some pretty intense trauma work, including EMDR. Yeah, because most likely there was probably somewhere in your life where someone made you feel like you were being dramatic or seeking attention for experiencing something horrific or experiencing something that made you feel sad or hurt or angry, and you felt invalidated over and over again. And so now you're experiencing some big vulnerabilities with someone who, again, it's that one-sided piece of you're not getting the same like heavy experiences reciprocated and being told to you. So it's like that even playing field. It feels uneven at times. That's totally valid to feel those things.
And I think that if you're not used to talking about those types of things, or you're doing like really intense work, like it can feel dramatic. My therapist has a saying and I love it. He's like, you know, you're not crazy, but what you're experiencing is crazy making. So like, if I'm like, I feel crazy, he's like, you're not crazy, but like the stuff that you're experiencing, anybody would feel crazy experiencing that.
Yeah.
Like,
would make anyone feel crazy.
Yes. And I think that doing trauma work can feel like that. And it can also be like what you said of like, if you've been invalidated or you've been told you're dramatic or too much or too whatever, or that your experience wasn't that bad.
You got some heart pains going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually just told a friend about heart pains today. Some things get said, or it doesn't even need to be a statement said. It could be a look someone gives you, like you feel like you're like the being dramatic piece, right? Or sometimes our heart pain is feeling stupid, or these things are just real human emotions. That it's that fear of being judged when you're at your most vulnerable state. Yeah. That's That's heavy. And so, and then you're leaving, and that's why it's really important to leave, I think, some space at the end of session to process, especially if you're doing something like EMDR or heavy trauma. You can't just leave at the end of session, like just talking about the trauma. Like you need to reground, re-get back into the moment to be able to send a client out the door, because you can't leave them with an open wound.
Yeah.
Not that therapist did that. Not that the therapist left them with an open wound, but.
But it is heavy. And I also think of like, sometimes when people first start therapy, they, even if it's just with a new therapist, it's like, well, I want it to feel good. And it's like, it's
wrong
in
place
our declaration
to be.
Statement that the risks associated with starting therapy is that things might get worse and things might come up. And that's what's really difficult, especially if your like go-to skill is repressing stuff and you're really good at it. And then you come to therapy, you're going to hate therapy for a little while,
maybe forever.
Because it, like, you are pulling stuff out. You're opening these boxes up and you're looking at what's going on. And you're looking at these patterns and these behaviors and these feelings.
I had for so long thought that these symptoms of me getting better were symptoms of me getting worse. So then I would just regress back to where I was when I started. Cause I was like, well, I'm only getting worse. And that I didn't make the connection that, no, what's happening is that you're actually doing the work, and this is where this is coming from. And it wasn't until my current therapist pointed that out. And I was like, for so many years, when I've tried to do the work, do these things, I thought the symptoms of me getting better were symptoms of me getting worse. And immediately once that was confirmed for me, I think it opened so many more doors for me, because then it was like, okay, now I know that this is the right direction I'm going in. It's not the wrong direction. I kept thinking I was going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
You saying that makes me think, I've been watching Grey's Anatomy again for the umpteenth time, but like if somebody comes in with like a big gaping wound that's got all kind of like they've been rolling around the dirt or whatever, they have to debride the wound, right? And that is so painful. You have to pick stuff out of this open wound. And that's, I think, what happens a lot of time in therapy. Like you might have like covered it up and now it's festered and infected. Now we have to like pull this out.
Yes, clean
and
that.
And then sew it up.
Yeah.
And then it has to heal.
Yeah.
And then it's itchy and it hurts. Like, you know what I mean? It's
yes, I love that analogy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gauze we're just like stuffing on there and then wrapping it up. Sometimes wounds are too big to sew for a while. So we're just going to keep rebandaging.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what a cool episode today.
If
y'all liked it, let us know. Cause I mean, I'd love to do more of these. Maybe Sam, maybe you can pick out the ones for next time. And
I think I'd want to do some that are a little bit longer, a little more like intense. I think it would be fun to dive in a little deeper, but I really enjoyed this.
Okay. I did too. I really do. I don't want to be the only ones reading these, being surprised all the time at the world. And so it's helpful to have some surprise with me, but also good surprise, right? We want to mix in the good, because not every therapist is going to be unethical. We have, sometimes there's a bad day. Sometimes there's inexcusable things. That's why I love this subreddit, because they will let you know, they will try and, you know, look at it in a different perspective. But then there are times where they're like, there's no excuse for that. So talk therapy on Reddit. If you have your own Reddit story that you want or need clarification on by other counselors and clients, go ahead and post in there.
Or if you have a crazy story that you want us to share, like anonymously, you can.
Yes. Would love that. We should make a post, actually. Let's go ahead and make a story on that.
Yeah. And we're also going to post soon about our giveaway. I swear it's happening. We've just been trying to like transition to this new recording day and get our lives together. So thanks.
Y'all are just going to be surprised one day with it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And we will
see you next week.
Bye.
Disclaimer. Sam and Sam are provisional licensed professional counselors. This podcast may include opinions, experiences, and research-backed discussions. This podcast is not meant to diagnose or provide any mental health treatment. The purpose of this podcast is to encourage thoughtful discussions around mental health. If you are seeking mental health services, please reach out to a licensed professional in your state or country that can give you additional resources. Thank you for listening.